When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Last week on The Goody Goody, Sabrina and Lisa sat in bed and discussed,
you know, there was a skirtcuffle and
skirtcuffle
pretty wild.
Along with
that horrifying feeling when you like open your Twitter and it's like so many notifications and like you know immediately that they're not positive notifications.
But had not resolved what the Twitter drama was about, which is what we are about to now do. Got that episode?
And then I'm like with my Asian friend, we're looking and it's all tweets about mean things about Asians. And
do you remember where you were when you wrote them?
No, though, like, I remember some of them and stuff, but there were some where I'm like, I knew it was, because everyone's like, well, you were young. I'm like, one was from 2016, I'll be honest. Like, and I knew it was wrong then. Like, I truly, it's wild. Like, some of the opinions I do know I had, and that sucks. Like, I said crazy shit.
You said something about, like, if you date an Asian person, it's like dating someone with one arm.
Which doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And then the person that you got to delete them was your Asian friend with two arms.
Yes. Yeah, and then like Peg was there. It was just like, then we were deleted. And then I was like, oh my God. Like, it was truly like humiliation. I was horrified. Like, CJ was like reading them, going, what were you thinking? I was like, I don't know. I can't. And then for days, like, I logged out of Twitter, but then Megan, our manager, she texted me. She goes, did you say things about Indian men? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So I was panicked. I thought I would never have friends again. I was truly terrified. And then the two friends that I was kind of the most nervous about being upset about this called me that night. And I mean, texted me that night. So Joel Kim Booster and Clark Jones texted me that night. And then a bunch of friends started texting me being like, can you not do this again? But I don't know. That was all I truly cared about, was like, I just was scared people weren't gonna like me. Like, I would lose friends.
Well, I feel like in both of our lives, or just like in this business, or maybe just this is the way life is, but the highs are so high, but then the lows are so low.
Oh, and then my friend said that Tom Colicchio was tagged in everything. So thousands of people being like, screenshots of my tweets, telling me to like die on monoxide, like choke on it, bitch.
God.
And Colicchio's retweet all of it. So it's like,
Colicchio's retweeting all of it?
No, Colicchio's just tagged in all of it. Were like tagged
so
on our,
thing,
like, the show.
You like wanted this cool chef to think you were cool. And then in the end, and it's just like,
I was like going to craft the next week in Vegas. Oh yeah, I was coming to do the porn awards and Wolfie's, but that was like that trip. And so,
oh yeah, you were going through so much then.
So I went to the porn awards and I was going to craft there. I was like, you know, I'm gonna be in Vegas at your restaurant. Like, I was just like, I loved him so much. And yeah, he was tagged in all of it. It was really embarrassing. And then I put an apology, and then people, I did make a little joke, maybe I shouldn't have in it, within it, but like, then people hated that and didn't think you're sincere.
What was the joke in the apology?
I was just like, I thought you had to be famous for people to care.
Oh.
And people were like, how's that accountability? She just wants money and fame before she gets called out. Oh, this dumb bitch. Like, all of a sudden, people don't believe the sincerity. And they're like, oh, you're just scared of your career. And it's like, truly, that never, I was not worried. Like, I'm not, I've never set myself up as like, you know what I mean? I'm not standing on any, like, podiums. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you never pretended to be better than
you are. Yeah, I'm the Degenerates. My special's The Degenerates. Like, that's what I am. I never claimed to be anything. I fucked up. I'm embarrassed. I wrote shit that I wrote. There's no excuses. I did it. I can't, like, deny it. But what do you want? You know, I can't jump off a bridge. And
well, but you, I think within that story, it's kind of proof that people can change, right? Like, you've personally changed.
Uh-huh.
Because I think in the beginning we were talking about men not being able to change.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, a lot of comics were just like, you shouldn't have apologized. You were just doing jokes. You knew. And I was like, no, but I was sorry. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm not doing anything for any reason. Like, it's just, I didn't like it. I was embarrassed. So I'm gonna say this sucks. Like, I don't want to stand behind it. And if I did, I would have. Like, I don't know.
And you're not doing it for
anything.
Any other reason other than just the personal growth.
I think it's weird to be like, well, that was when I was doing. It's like, okay, I don't know. I don't want to. I don't get that. So a lot of people were like, you shouldn't have apologized. And I was like, but I was sorry.
The weight of
what do you want me to do?
The like, how much an apology costs some people is wild. And I get that it is a big thing.
And if you're not sorry, don't apologize. That too. Like, if you're not sorry, like, if I wasn't sorry,
I wouldn't have. For instance, the Kevin Hart Oscars thing, it's like, what would it cost you to just remind people that you're sorry? The idea of, like, I give one out and that's it is just so strange to me. It just costs you so much more. I think that he just didn't want to do the Oscars, to be honest.
Yeah, but it also made me think about him, and it made me think, like, that's one of the lessons. Lessons, will you do it?
Lessons!
I learned is you truly don't know anything and nothing is real. So like I got emails from people being like, you elitist millionaire New Yorker. Like people thought Hillary Clinton paid me to go on the news. Like they didn't know I was paying a PR person thousands of dollars a month to do this. Like, like people's, you know, they're like, you privilege. And it's okay. I was like, I don't know. I slept in a dining room. I was an immigrant. Like for you to think anything of me, like I was on food stamps. You don't know me.
No, just yeah. How quickly a picture is painted. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's just like, this is kind of like the momentum of where the internet is.
Yeah, because I was someone that
happened
was like,
to me.
Because I was like, I bet Kevin Hart's a homophobe. And I was like, I was like, I can't believe people think they know things
I'm
when
sure,
they don't.
But I think I'm not judging based on any sort of like picture anyone's painting, but for Kevin Hart to not be okay with saying once again, like, I apologize then and I'll say it again. Like, I didn't, you know, I don't know, I forget what he said, but I think it was something about like if his son was gay, he'd be like, and
he'd kill him. I don't know.
Kill
him.
Yeah. I mean, that's
beat
something worth apologizing for again. What was I going to say? Oh, my internet snafu.
But also these people actually, they were Bernie bros. Like they didn't care about anything. So they were taking, it wasn't like, oh, we want to call you out because you're a dumb bitch. Like that would have been fine. But they were taking screenshots and sending it to anyone that followed me that was black or Asian or anything and being like, this woman hates you. Why do you support her? And then I had friends defending me, which meant so much to me. Like, honestly, no, like I stayed off the internet, but knowing that people were tweeting was, I don't know. It just felt, I felt very loved and very good. Even though it was like,
that's what
awful.
You felt during it
when my friends like stood up for me and they didn't have to, like, in that moment when like people texted me, I did feel like I have a true life and true relationships and like a real world that is not what this is. I don't think these people would be my friend if I was this shitty person as shitty as these tweets are.
Yeah.
So like,
you found your footing in it.
I felt embarrassed and awful, but like to have to have my friends that are Asian or are black, like go online and be like, hey, like you, like go fuck yourself. And then they got all this shit, like shit on and lost followers. Like they didn't, you know, I don't know. That meant a lot to me, but people were going like months back and like I commented cute hearts on a friend's cute picture and they were like, why do you support this white racist dumb bitch? And he's like, what are you gaining? You know what I mean? Like they were just going out of their way in weird ways. So that's annoying too. Like if I did something bad and someone came up to me, I wish it was like, hey, you did this shitty. This isn't good. That's fine. But that wasn't their intention. You know, their intention was like, shut
to
up.
Ruin you.
I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, we're going to ruin you so you can't speak again. You won't speak your mind. It's like, I won't. That's not going to work. I would go on again and I would talk. They're not going to have me, I'm sure.
You've been having offensive things in your lunchbox since you could walk.
Yeah. So like, that's always the goal. It's like they dox, they like ruin your life online. So you
dox
shut up.
Dox means you're over.
Like release, like releasing your personal information.
Oh,
or scaring
dox.
You, threatening.
Documents.
Like, yeah. Like trying to take, like that's gross too. I don't know. It's everything's in play. Can't, because some people, when I hear things, I'm like, yeah, get rid of them. I don't believe they're a problem. And then some people, you're sincere, but you learn you don't know anything. That's what I learned. You have no idea what is going on.
Will you ask me about my internet snafu?
Yeah, I kept talking always. Yeah, tell me. But I'm just more mad that I don't know it.
You do know it, I bet. You just need to be reminded. Yeah. So the year was, when was the election?
2016.
The vibe was angry. The solution was a show called Nasty Woman that we actually, Alana Glazer and I, were going to do it the night after the election to celebrate our first female president.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama was gonna buy you a mockingbird, but if that mockingbird won't sing, mama's gonna buy you a diamond.
And then, wait, I wanted to.
Deals.
So instead, the deal that we got was Monster President, and then it became like this vigil, and then so I started doing it every month as like collecting funds for different charities. And the first Nasty Woman, the poster was a picture of Hillary Clinton, and it was like in the Janet Jackson like sexy pose with someone like hands on her tits,
iconic
pose. And then I thought, oh, okay, cool. So every month we'll put like another like iconic woman in that like Nasty Woman pose, and the show's called Nasty Woman. Perfect. So then the second month I picked Michelle Obama, and Jenny Fine, this awesome like animator, was like, okay, cool, so just same poster. And I was, are you sure? And people, I think a couple people have been like, oh really, you're gonna do that? And I didn't think about it at all, because I think it's also one of those blind spots where I feel like I'm a person of color, so I'm like, oh no, that's, it's cool, like it's a poster, it'll be fine. And then once the poster went out, I was in the writer's room, and the Michelle Obama in that pose poster, and it was like that horrifying feeling when you like open your Twitter and it's like so many notifications, and like, you know, immediately that they're not positive notifications. It was just like, and the numbers just like growing, and I'm like sitting there like, and not supposed to be on my phone in the writer's room, just like sweating, needing to go to the bathroom. And like, I called Nicole Byer, who did all the shows with me, and she's black. And I was like, am I wrong? Like, what? Cause basically people were like, fuck you, you white woman. This is like white feminism at its finest. Like, you're objectifying Michelle Obama and her body. And like, this is, and like putting the words nasty on it. And it was just like totally received not the way that I intended for it to be received. And I took the poster down, but there's just this, like, the decision to listen and move forward in, like, a peaceful way and say,
so what,
like,
ended up happening?
I ended up apologizing and taking the poster down. And there was, like, also this moment in the writer's room at Big Mouth where Brandon Kyle Goodman was saying, like, oh, using the word exotic to describe this, like, character of color, it's kind of racist. And my knee-jerk reaction was like, is it though? Like, exotic? I mean, like, my friend's mom, Linda Tarabelli, called me exotic all the time. It was like so great and fun. And then like Mitra and Patty and Brandon were like looking at me like, yeah, you don't get it, but you're like, that's part of a race. It's like a special word for you as a not white person, rather than just saying beautiful. And it was this moment of like when your face gets red and you're like, oh my God, I'm the old white lady. Like, I am like, it's just that things change, or that you can be awake to some causes, or, that you don't, all you know is what you know, and being open to the idea that like things are changing, and with the rights of like queer people and different races, that like things do become, the thing that you thought, the word exotic you thought was harmless, is actually like, there's better lawyers negotiating for races now, and now it's like not as cool, and that it's not a fight for me. Like, in that moment, surely my ego was like, no, my experience is that exotic is fine, but your conscious, like your heart and your mind knows that, like, oh no, it's way smarter and better to like move and change and learn from like a younger generation.
Yeah.
Will I ever not be congested on this podcast?
Have you been sick this whole time?
I've been definitely congested a lot of times.
I hope I did not get sick.
Yeah, me too.
Shauna's going to give me potions, I think.
Yeah. My wife, Shauna, makes... Oh, this is a goody-goody tip. If you are sick, Shauna makes a potion from echinacea, oil of oregano. Actually, they're just different shots. And it's fun because she puts them in shot glasses, so you feel like you're partying even though you're sick. Yeah, some drops of oil of oregano, some echinacea, some... look...
that's how you live forever, dog.
Do you have any health tips?
No, not at all. I don't have any. No. I love melatonin.
And kickboxing.
I like real boxing, but I've gone probably like 8 months. You know what I mean? But love pony sweat. Love everything.
Okay. Any mental health tips that you've gotten from yourself or your therapist?
I just don't think this is my strong suit.
Being in therapy, I think, is a positive goody-goody tip.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone should be in it, and it would be cool if... I mean, the old generation sucked. I read another meme. I'm a meme queen, so...
I'm a meme queen.
So it was like this meme where it compared baby boomers to like a roll of toilet paper. The person that like, there's one square left on the roll. So you're like, oh, I don't have to change it. There's still some toilet paper there. That's like how baby boomers have treated us. Like we have to change the roll and they just won't. We wish therapy was normal. All of our parents had bad ideas.
Yeah, the shame around therapy. And if you think about it, if you like take a step away from it, it's just the idea that like someone could help you live your life and just like that not every decision that you make, whether you know you're making it or not, subconscious or conscious, like isn't perfect, that someone could help you, that like with some guidance every couple weeks, you could live your life in a more like, in a less mentally taxing way. Just the idea that is like that tool has been categorized as like it's for crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
So nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. I wish, but I did a show at a crystal shop yesterday, and like 4 or 5 comics in a row, me included, we all had jokes about therapy, and it became kind of like then it was like we're all talking about therapy, and then. But I asked the crowd, we asked the crowd who else is in therapy, and it was the most people that clapped that I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
But it was in this crystal shop. But then, like, my friend Aaron had a joke about how therapy is so expensive. So he's like, you have to get your shit together before you can get your shit together.
Yeah. It's
like, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all that. And so the lesson, too, is it should be, like, more accessible to kids immediately.
For sure, yeah.
You know, it should just be, like, what everyone does all the time.
Yeah, I used to say if I could put one extra class in school, it would be taxes, because I feel like people are so lost with
it. I had consumer ed.
You did?
I did in high school.
Okay, so they did teach you about taxes.
Yeah, taxes, how to write a check, how to write a complaint letter, how to, cool.
Did you get an A?
Class. I don't know. I didn't do well in school, but I think that class was easy. I liked it. I like doing, like, tasks, I guess, but I don't want to do it. Actually, no, I don't. I don't know. I took a sports marketing class. We had a lot of options.
But a therapy class would be good.
Every kid should be able to get therapy at least once a month in their schools. But they don't even have books most schools. Like, who knows?
Yeah, maybe a robot therapist.
No, but I was forced to go to a counselor. And then I mentioned that I smoked weed, but they're supposed to be confidential. What the fuck? And then they put me in a drug group. And I was like, with such lunatics. And I was like, I've just like smoked weed, like just all the druggy party kids. We all like
That's
met during lunch once a week,
idea.
And we just like
traded
all chat.
Your dealer's information.
When I had to go to alcohol class after my drunk driving,
all these classes, Lisa.
We just watched like Leaving Las Vegas, and like this just makes us all want to party. You know, like this is so fucked.
What's the theme of Leaving Las Vegas?
I mean, it is fucked. Like he ruins his liver, but he's having a good time. He's falling in love. Like he's in Vegas. It's like. It's not actually, you know, have you seen the movie 13? It's like those two bad teens and there's piercings and like drugs and sex and mean to your mom and not going to school. And it's like, it just makes you want to fucking go out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like when you, when I watched Mighty Ducks, I was like, I gotta do hockey.
Really? Did you?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, Canada too.
Yeah. Mighty Ducks too. Or Blue Crush. Don't you feel like surfing when you watch sports?
I've never looked at surfing and went, that's something I can do. Never.
But want to do?
Don't even. Nope. I don't need to be hit in the face with salt water. I don't. I don't need falling. I honestly would have to, I would honestly have to work out for at least a year to even go to like a minimal surf out class. Like, I don't think I could even do it. I'm like, I've gotten myself in a real pickle. And
the ocean does want you out of it once you go in.
Yeah.
The ocean is not interested.
Yeah.
And then you've got this thing that's like attached. Like it is the first time. Well, the first time I went surfing, I was in Spain and I was by myself and I had like 4 hours till I was taking a train from Spain to Amsterdam.
See, this is the difference between us. I would just sit in the train. Like I was like, you're out. You're like, you'll be like, okay, I landed at 8. My gig's at 6. I'm going to rent a jet ski. Like I just, and then I'm flying out at 11. Like
my jet ski got stuck in the lake. I almost did.
That's a hoisted by the petard moment.
Oh yeah. When my jet ski, because I thought it was going falling from the highest highs to the depthest depths when my jet ski got full of seaweed and I had to jump off. And
your Instagram's one of the faves out there. But what, I mean, everyone says nice things. I was just your kid's cute and stuff.
At a birthday party and someone was like, why don't you do an Instagram of the bad moments?
Who went, all right. Who said that? Will you tell me who after?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Anyways. But one of the things like 90% of people say to me is like, when are they resting? I'm like, they don't rest. It's like truly crazy.
We're trying to rest now.
No, like you'll fly to one place from another to just pack to go somewhere else. Like it's truly a night. It's too busy.
Well,
you're like, it's just so many chores, activities, responsibilities in a day that I would blow my brains out.
It's work hard, play hard. But everyone's life is different. Like, I also can't imagine being up late doing sets the way you do. But it's like, that's what you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I gotta sleep. I gotta sleep
more. You
don't
sleep, though. Oh, yeah, you do. You know, yeah, you have to sleep more.
Yeah.
Yes.
I took a nap right before this.
I have to sleep less. But being in LA, it does, like, force you to have better habits. Every time I visit, I'm always up before 9 or 10. Like, that would never happen in New York. I'm in bed by 2. Maybe 2:30. I usually am in bed by 4 or 5. Like today I woke up and like
you're just explaining the time difference.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, it's 3 hours difference, and it's describing everything you do.
So I would get used to it. Do you think I would just fall into habits again late?
No, because I think you're right. Where there are, first of all, the first thing I noticed when I came here is like when you get together with people, they're like, "Oh, should we go for a hike?" Where in New York, you would never like suggest to do a physical activity with someone as like a bonding thing. You would be drinking. You meet at a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nowhere to hike. You're not even like, I mean, it would be nice to like the walk parks. The bridge would be a cute thing.
Those things I do on my own. Weird. Like I'll go to the botanical garden. I do those things by myself. I go to the art museum mostly by myself.
That's cute.
I don't really like someone bothering me unless you have a good relationship where you can all do your own things. But I like to be on my own pace.
But we'll hike when you,
I can't wait. I mean, that's like my goal. But even this morning, I woke up and Kara was coming over to work on stuff in the morning. And I was like, she's like, we'll order food when I get there. I said, yes. But I was like, I'll leave the door unlocked. I'm going to walk and get coffee. That would never happen in New York. Even though the bodega is like literally 3 doors away from me. Yeah. I will not. Well, I went to CeeLo, but it was across the street. I would order in all the time. But like I got a coffee. I walked back. It's like gorgeous. You're looking at the palm trees. I'm sure I'll get sick of it and like things will annoy me. But in the moment, I'm like really hyped on it.
Yeah.
I'm hyped to like leave the house. I'm like excited.
And you're excited about one specific kind of car.
Well, no, I think I'm going to have to get like a used car.
Yeah.
I was going to like lease a car. I mean, we'll see if I get a job. I don't know.
What is your fantasy life? 1 year from now, we're doing this podcast. What is the fantasy? God. Like, what does your apartment look like? Do you have a dog?
I've been thinking about, no. I don't want a dog until I'm like living with a person.
Are you dog sitting cowboy?
Maybe.
In your fantasy, are you doing me favors?
But this is the thing. When I watched him last time, he's like my favorite. But I would feel, I like would rush home.
Yeah.
And so it's like tough. Yeah, it really does. And I just can't have that in my life at the moment.
Yeah.
I can't. But I just didn't want him to be alone. And it wasn't even for his safety or health. I was just like, little guy.
Really guilty eyes.
Yeah, he does. And then he did. I mean, he also pooped in the house once to teach me a lesson. But what I love and makes it all worth it is then his guilty face is the best thing I've ever seen. And his ears go way back. It's like so cute that I'm like, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're lonely. Your family keeps leaving you.
Shut up. I took him on such a great hike yesterday.
No, I know. But that's what I mean. He's been happier lately. For a while, he was just living this abandoned life.
No.
There was just a photo of my favorite photo of him is like he's stuck outside because everyone forgot about him with like a piece of corn in his mouth just in the window waiting to get in.
He has a great life. He's got a great yard.
Yeah.
He's got squirrels that he's got will they, won't they's with. He's got cute girls that come and hang with him at the house when we're gone. always the cutest girls come.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he had to go through a change like everyone else. Like,
yeah.
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 But I do think.
Okay, so describe your dream life.
But before that, but what I haven't thinking about is I have all this art, but in New York, it's like darker and you can protect it. But like yes. Sunday, I'm like nervous where I'm going to hang the art. So I need somewhere where I would have not full sunlight all the time, but I do want a sunny home, but I can't have my shit destroyed.
Well, you just need one room that has blinds down.
And then just stuff it all in. Thank God I have a friend that specializes in this, but that's like my first thought was like, what am I going
to
do?
Okay. What are the artists also, to invest in? Goody, goody tips. Go.
Damian Davis. I cannot wait, unless we die from the environment, to donate his stuff to a museum. I cannot wait till it says...
Oh, you're not even thinking about money.
Donated by Lisa Traeger at the museum. Like, I want that. Like, his...
I have so no good. Attachment to that fantasy.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know why. Because I'm not like I'm super educated about art, but I do have very fun... I just, like, I'm drawn to it in an amateur way, I guess. But, yeah, I want to donate.
So I guess part of your fantasy life would be owning more art?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I thought, like, I don't know, we'll see, but my friend worked at a gal and there was this piece that was, like, so good, and it was, like, $150,000. Like, will I get there? Do I even want that? I don't know. But I, like, well, I was just in Detroit, and this was a young artist. He was, like, excited that I bought his artwork and I lived in New York. He's like, you're my first sale in New York. Like, he was truly shocked. Oh. Like, but yeah, this cool Simpsons art, and I was doing a show there, and I was just like, this is serendipitous. And then I texted my friend how to get a deal from him, like, how to ask properly, because I wanted to barter a little. It worked out great, and I'm gonna get it. I don't know. So it's not always about like,
tips for buying art would be to ask your cool art friends.
No. It's buy what you love.
Buy what you love.
That's what you do. So like, I don't. Obviously, art is like a rich person thing. But what my friend told me is like, galleries do have lists of names of people that are just in it for the money or just to resell, and like, those aren't their favorite buyers. Their favorite buyers are people that invest in the artist, buy what they love, and will be long term clients. Like, they want people that love the art. And so you want to just, you don't want to invest because you think something will be worth a lot.
Yeah.
You want to buy what you love because you weren't going to look at it. And it's kind of gross.
But things are super expensive.
Yeah.
When it's like a $10,000 thing, you want to know that it's going to at least hold the value.
Yeah, but that is...
not the way.
That's not really the heart and the way. But there are people that want to make... I mean, there's also dealers, there's also millionaires, so it depends how rich you are. Like, I don't know what... like, if this is all invest... like, for Damien, I know the art is going to be worth so much one day, for sure. But that I would never... I would only donate it to a museum. I would never sell
Will you
it
tell
to
me
anybody.
Your fantasy life, or are you not interested?
I will... this is so hard. Are you living your fantasy life?
I think so.
Yeah.
But like, I'd love a pool one day.
Yeah.
I think that would be part of a fantasy.
Pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you love this tub. You're going to jump in the pool all the time. Because I think what happens is people don't use it a lot.
No,
but you would.
I'm going to jump in that pool.
Yeah. Because I've had so many scary apartment and home invasion attacks.
Home invasion?
Not on but the my building
oh, the
super
the
building super climbing on the
oh
ladder.
Oh my God, we must tell the story of the time I was hanging out in Lisa's apartment in Hell's Kitchen. Hell is correct because we heard the whistle of the devil. It was just, first we thought there was a bird trapped somewhere, so we were looking around.
We weren't looking around, but, like, because I had heard it earlier in the day. I heard the whistling and I kept telling people it was birds.
Yes.
Because I remember Megan was getting dressed to go to Monday Night Football. She was putting on her football. The Colts were in town. Her parents were in town. And she was meeting them at Monday Night Football. And I remember hearing the whistling during the day as she was changing, talking about how lovely it is that we have birds in such a, like, bustling city.
Oh, my God. How lovely it is that we have birds. It was not a bird. It was her super who was standing on a fucking ladder.
But even before that, so it was Sabrina was
staring into their apartment through the window.
But remember the building super first knocked on the door?
Yes.
And asked for me to go to the basement and drink with him.
And I started videotaping.
Because you knew it was creepy.
Because I knew it was creepy.
So then when we heard the whistling again.
Go to the basement and drink with you?
Yeah.
AKA get murdered? Go to the basement and drink with you?
But then you.
I'm in my home with my friends.
Yeah, but then you went, you opened the curtain. You saw this guy, but then you came back and you told me, and I thought you were kidding. I didn't believe you for forever because you seemed so calm.
Was I?
You were like,
Charlie and I jumped
into the- You were like, there was a man. I go, all right, Sabrina. You're like, no, there's a guy in there. And I was like,
did we tell him to stop and then he came back?
No, okay. No, no, no. But right away. And then I was like, and then you're like, no, 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 this is serious. And I was like, what the fuck? And thank God we had the dude. And then we opened, yeah, and he was there. And, you know, there was a skirtcuffle and skirtcuffle. Pretty wild. And I'm just like, what would have happened if you guys weren't there? If I was by myself and I found
You'd
him?
Be drinking in the basement. No, with him.
No. I don't know, but I would have opened the door. Like, who fucking knows what would have happened? Yeah. Also, what if I got super scared and pushed him and he died and hit his head? Like, I don't know what would have happened. Or he would have attacked me. But I also got attacked outside of that apartment. My monoxide situation. Sean and I smoking out here and seeing, like, that man. Like, I just, I'm, like, terrified. And a part of my fantasy, it, like, is a door guy. Like, I want a man downstairs that picks up my packages. Yeah. Like,
even in L.A.? You want to live in a building in L.A.
But that's what I've been grappling. Like, when he's talking about fantasies, I've been thinking, do I want, like, a rooftop pool and a gym and just, like, a building where I'm safe and I have, like, and there's a guy downstairs.
Do you
want to,
like, walk out your front door, go get the coffee?
But I would still, oh, yeah, you're right. I probably wouldn't. I would, the elevator would stop me from.
The elevator would stop
me. The elevator would stop me. How weak is my brain that the elevator would fucking stop me? That's so shitty. But it would. And then I really love the shape of the house we had in Palm Springs. Like, I love a one floor.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite real world house was Hawaii. Like, I love a flat, like, ranch style home. I love lots of big rooms. I think I'd want a pool, but it wouldn't be. I don't know.
All right. Dream life pool for both of us.
Oh, I wanted to be working, fulfilled with my work, like, consistent, good, performing.
Working how much? Do you want
as much as possible?
You want a banging podcast? You want, yeah. I don't know why my voice sounds like that.
I want some shows. I
want
to make shit on TV. I want to do, maybe put on an hour. Yeah, 2020, I definitely want to put on an hour. But those are so material in business. Like, I would love to meet someone in the next year for sure. And
preferably a chef, preferably not Tom Colicchio or anyone who's talked to Tom Colicchio about you.
Not even chef. No, anyone that like likes their jobs.
Chef would be a cute one.
Yeah,
you.
But any like, it doesn't have to be fully creative. Like, creative, I think is better because I like it. But yeah, just someone that's passionate about their job. Could be like drawn. I don't care. But to have someone that hates their job, like, is annoying. Or like,
of course,
or someone that. So I've met people too that like they're fine doing a job they don't like and that's their life and that's fine. Like, I don't, that would be very difficult for me to relate to.
Okay. Do you like your job? Are you cute, hot, fun? Are you ready?
This is like so much for a year. I'd like to be in great physical shape.
Yes. Surfing shape?
What?
Surfing shape.
No, I don't want to surf, but I'd like to. Since I've lived in New York, I think I've gained 40 to 50 pounds. Like, truly, people go in there and be like, well, I'm walking everywhere. And I found a way to.
I did the same thing when I moved to LA. When I moved to LA, it's just the consciousness of like calories made me be like, really? Well, fuck you! Like, I just like living like I'm in the roaring 20s all the time.
But I've been having a lot of positive guidance and motivation and like dealing through things because everything is like all bad behaviors. Through share, like what I've kind of, you know, it's putting away dealing with certain emotions or feelings or things that are keeping you trapped. So you'd rather do these things that
yes.
feel good than actually deal with the shit. So it's like, hopefully consistently working on dealing with the shit so I can then, you know, do the right things for myself. But I would really love to be in like great shape.
Yeah, me too. I'd
like to be pre-New York weight.
Pre-New York weight.
I would love to, even like first year. Yeah, I'd love to be pre-New York.
So my therapist, Rini, I was talking to her about the cheesecake. Basically, the cheesecake that I've somehow already referenced several times in this yeah. podcast.
But I've never eaten cheesecake with you. Like,
I love
this,
cheesecake.
We've
it's
never,
just so decadent.
I know, but never once in our years of friendship have I seen you touch, mention, look at a cheesecake until right now.
Yes, but.
Do you just, is this your secret secret?
It's not even a secret, but like, if I could think about what I want. It, like, just blended up cheesecake, like, in an IV thing, and just, like, in my mouth, and I could just suck it into my mouth, that would be a perfect time.
So you love a strawberry cheesecake
milkshake? I love an Oreo cheesecake. So what happened was, we were in Mexico hanging out with our donor's family, and then Wolfie's biological grandma, Lupita, orders this amazing raspberry cheesecake. And I'm like on this new path of like, before I shoot the show, I want to like trim up a little, feel good. And the cheesecake lands on the table and it's just like, just so much emotion between me and the cheesecake. It's like every minute, every second of the minute is me like, just like really like clenching my fists and like trying not to eat because I don't want to eat a bite of the cheesecake. So I was talking to my therapist about this.
Did you eat the bite or no?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. But then I thought about it like a breakup, like 10 times a day at first. And now I'm like just thinking about it a couple times per podcast. But my therapist was like, okay, so what we should try to focus on is it, rather than the anxiety of like the clenching the fists of like the cheesecake, just surrendering. And I was like, yeah, surrendering to the cheesecake. And she's like, no, the cheesecake is not your boss. You surrender, just surrender, surrendering your will, or just like letting go of, because there's something about me that still like wants it. You know, like the same thing with when I'm not, like I'm now not drinking most of the time. So like I am drinking and it's not that like I need to, but just the compulsion of it, or like just that things are shifting and I can surrender. She made me do this with my hands, like on my chest, and then let go. Lots of breathing. Yeah. So surrender. Does that make sense to you? Did I explain it in a good way?
Yeah, so like surrender your want for it.
Yes. I wanted to get from you a tip that Sherry gave you that you're like, this is...
She said to sit in my feelings and not like grab the things that put it, you know, that numb you out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like drawing a blank for specific advice.
No, that was good.
Okay.
That was a good specific.
Yeah. Things are like so personal.
Yeah.
She just wants me out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants me out of my house. She also like, for her, I'm like this kid in the, like she told, okay. So she, like for me, how I find joy is doing nothing. Like to me, it's like this, oh, I don't have to be anywhere until 2. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing until then.
Yeah.
And I have to find joy with being out in the world. And the fact of the matter is when I have a busy day, I feel happier.
Yeah.
But I don't allow myself to do that for some reason. And it's like this twisted thing. So like I'm focused on like finding the full, like waking up every day and being like, yay, I can't wait to start the day, versus like, oh, like sometimes I'll wake up and I'll take melatonin to go back to bed.
Really?
Yeah, like it'll be 8 or 9. I'm like, nah, not today. I'm like,
not today, Satan.
You know, or like I'll just not, yeah, I just, and for some reason LA makes me want to leave the house.
Well,
more.
It's like the reason is like the universe is inviting you to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in New York, it's like so half the year, the universe is like, how fucking dare you? Salt water in your face, bitch. But it's
no. Yeah, but lately, since I've been so misty about New York and knowing that like my days are numbered, I have been like just amazing plays and
yeah.
Social
oh,
moments
New York is amazing,
like,
amazing. But I'm just saying it's.
But to live, it's like every day it's New York being like, oh, you want to try again? I don't know. Yeah. But it is beautiful. Like, every time I pass the bridge and see the skyline, like, I can't believe I get to live there.
And every time I pass the bridge and see your face, I can't believe I get to be your friend.
Oh. We had fun in Williamsburg.
We did.
Yeah, I remember watching that scary movie and having to walk home, and it was the scariest walk of my life. So scary.
We've done everything we need to do.
How many hours has this been?
It's been an hour and a half.
But what I don't love is my year from now analysis. I'm like... I don't know. Because I don't think these dream homes I'm having will be next year.
No, because also I'm going to make you buy a place.
I think if I can just function in a small apartment in Silver Lake this year, being healthy and doing good decisions and working on my crafts, I'll be happy.
Not tweeting about Asians.
Not tweeting about Asians and hopefully putting myself out there to like meet people.
Or if you are tweeting about Asians, it's positive.
Yeah, I'm going to see Mulan. yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it would be good balance for you to, like, tweet a lot promoting Mulan. I think that would be a good...
I don't know. I'm just happy. I've ruined my life. I just feel cool. I just feel like everything's good, and I can't wait to go to Edinburgh and stuff.
Yeah, you are cool. We end the podcast by saying nice things to each other.
Oh, God, my nightmare. I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, no.
This is a thing that happens at Sherry's office a lot, too.
What? Where
when she starts saying nice things to her in any way,
she's
She's like, look at your body language. And I've like contorted, or my leg is shaking.
Oh, my God.
Or, like,
yeah.
My hand is on my, like, I can't even function. And she calls it, she's like, look at the way you look at you. It's like, I just,
Lisa was in a pilot this past cycle and she was so funny in it. And my friends wrote the pilot and we were talking about her and we had this like whole long conversation that was just like blowjobs to Lisa. And then I texted her some of the stuff we said and she wrote back like, this makes me very uncomfortable. That's wild. Maybe your parents were just not emotional. So you're like, how do I process this soft, nice, goody goody?
Yeah, it's like deeper than that, but that's definitely a root of it. Yeah, it's like where, I mean, it's what's funny about sitting in therapy in that little chair is like, there's nowhere to hide. So when she's like, look at the way you're sitting, it's like truly humiliating, like you're caught. And then like, she just, it sucks. Yeah. Don't look at me like that.
Well, I love you. You're one of my favorite people to watch do the thing that you love to do. And you're such a wonderful friend and just a generous person and a general sweetie. And I can't wait till you live close to us.
Yes. I love you so much.
Yeah.
Great friendship. Also so generous, so kind. So much fun.
And
risky.
I love that we have worked through things in our friendship.
Yeah, this has been definitely probably the more mature friendships of my life. But yeah, thanks for taking me to Palm Springs, showing me the way. I love the way you raise your son. I think it's so awesome to watch. And I have a lot of experience, you know, as
a backup nanny.
Yeah, I've just seen lots of families and lots of kids everywhere. And I just love the way Wolfie is being raised. It's like so nice to watch. And I love that you're a doer and you make things happen and you work hard. And yeah.
Should we kiss on the cheek?
Good?
Yeah, let's kiss on the cheek.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Hello?
You have a collect call from the Goody Goody. To accept this call, press 1. To accept this call...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Goody Goody can afford to pay for their own call.
Stop insinuating I have money, mother.
Yes, you do.
I'm deeply in debt.
All right.
Well, this is off to a great start. Mom.
That's right.
Yes. You called me the other day and you were like, excuse me. You called me the other day and you said, I don't want you to swear on the podcast anymore. And I said, save it for the pod. So take it away, Mom.
Take it away. Not just on the podcast, Bina. I just think it's not necessary to, you know, to use the effort. It's just, it doesn't, I just don't like it. And if you were, you know, we were talking about... On another subject, we were talking about setting a good example for your kids. That's not setting a good example for your kids. If
but
you
I'm
talk
not
like
standing
that,
around Wolfie
how can
being...
you expect them? Excuse me, it's going to slip out. You know.
Excuse me.
It's going to slip out. Yes, it's going to slip out. And then what are you going to say to Wolfie when he goes and tells the teacher?
What would he say?
What are you going to say?
What would he say? I want to know what he says to the teacher first.
Well, he's going to say the F word to her, if he's not happy about something because he's heard it from you.
That would be so crazy. I'm trying to get him to say please, and I'm saying please 1,000 times a day. He's still saying cheech instead of please. So I doubt I'm going to slip out
him,
the fuck,
probably,
and then he's going to be like
that's
angry.
That's how it comes out. That's his language, baby language, right? But honestly, Bina, I don't like it, okay? I've never liked it, and I will never like it. I just feel it's not necessary.
How about if I don't swear on your section of the podcast?
No, I just want you to stop it. I don't know why people feel, I think it's a new thing. I don't think like 20 years ago people were using, this language like that. You know, so I don't really understand,
I think there just wasn't like, podcasts, so they weren't like, they didn't have a way to get it out there.
It just doesn't sound good to me. It's not nice.
Well, what are some words I think I should use instead?
Just replace it with something fazool or bakwas or whatever you want. Just Whoa. Do something else.
You never you know? Speak Urdu, but what do those things mean?
I don't know. Nonsense.
What's fazool?
Whatever. Fazool? I think it means nonsense, something like that. I think it's a similar word to bakwas.
And what does bakwas mean nonsense to?
Something like that. Silly.
Okay, well, then let's put it out to the listeners and myself to challenge themselves to replace the F word with the word fazool.
Fazool, yeah.
I think what you're up against here is there's two syllables and it's not as fun to say. Zool is kind of fun to say. What's your Zoolin problem? What kind of
Just make it Zool.
What kind of Zoolin mess is this?
Just make it fast.
Pick up your Zoolin toys, Wolfie.
Exactly. You know, you just replace it with something funny. Yeah.
All right.
But then don't think that the actual word is the F word in your mind. You know?
Wait, what do you mean? Don't.
If
what's
you're
going to
say,
layer?
Pick up your fazool tool, you know, toys or something, in your mind, don't have the other word in your mind.
Mom, you're going absolutely crazy right now.
No, I'm not.
Okay, I just want to share one story. The day after our wedding, which was so fun in Vermont, Sean and I got married 7 years ago. And it was super fun. My friends from Toronto at the border, when they were driving into the States, bought like a giant thing of Jameson, like the size of their body. And they were like, by the end of the night, you know, it's a wedding. They're like on the dance floor, like guzzling from this giant Jameson bottle. My parents don't drink. My parents are just looking at them like these people have lost their mind and they need to be fucking put in a hospital. So the next day, my mom, Fazool, Zool, Zool, and Zool. So my mom's like, Zool, these people suck. And then the next day, because it was like a weekend long, you know, party, we had so much booze left over too. Mom was like, okay, today I think no one should drink because everybody already drank yesterday.
Too much.
Drank too much yesterday. I mean, this is, I get my control from you and I love you and you have the best intentions, but you can't, I mean, language is language and people talk differently. And I don't, Wolfie is not going to be negatively impacted by me. He's not going to say the F word.
Well, we'll see.
Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad, but I don't agree with you. I just don't think, I just, it's not a nice word and I don't think it's necessary to use it. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't sound nice.
But
you know?
But isn't life subjective and everybody has a different experience? One
I
man's
know,
doesn't sound nice as another man's wonderful.
I think you just cannot understand it. You know, I don't understand, you know, your way of thinking and you don't understand mine. You know, I just
so should we end our relationship or has it just begun?
I don't think it's worth that.
What? It's not worth going on?
No, it's not worth, you know, having a big discussion about it because this is how it is. We just have to, I guess, agree to disagree.
And love each other because I love you, Mom, more than anybody in the world, including my son.
Yep.
And
I'm
how do you feel
forward
about
to coming.
My mom's coming to take care
soon.
Of Wolfie for a bit and hang out with me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to hang out that much with Wolfie. Let me know how it goes on the first day of daycare. I'm curious.
I will. I'll let you know in the next episode of The Goody Goody, featuring Ursula Fry, which is every other episode. And we might make it every fourth episode, depending on how our relationship unfolds. So tune in to find out if my mother is still in love with me, if I'm still in love with my mother, if we have problems in our relationship, or if we are a good, normal family.
Okay. Is that it? Goodbye.
Fazool, mama.
Okay, bakwas. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.